Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IOC call on the 21st of March 2012. On the call today, we have Lanwe Ajayi, Alan Greenberg, David Heasley, Wolfgang Kleinwächter, Jeff Newman, Deborah Hughes, Osvaldo Navoa, Thomas Rickett, Stefan Hankins, Kieran Mullacharaville, Charles Gomes, James Bykoff, and J. Scott Evans. From staff, we have Brian Peck and myself, Natalie Peregrine. We have apologies from Konstantinos Komaitis, Dido Bianco, Greg Sutton, and Mary Wong. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Natalie. This is Jeff Newman. Can I just ask a question? None of the names I heard, I didn't hear anyone from the non-commercial users constituency. Is that correct?
There's Mary Wong, I think. Wolfgang.
I'm
here, so...
Sorry, Wolfgang. Sorry about that. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Great. Okay, so welcome, everyone. And I just want to start... I'll start out the call with a kind of just an update, which I'm sure everyone on the call knows, but it's good for transcription purposes and the recording, just to kind of go over what happened a week ago at the Minister Council meeting. And the next steps, and then go over what we'll be doing on the top level, and I hope more importantly be focusing a little bit on steps we could take on the second level, which we sort of started before Costa Rica, but I think some events in Costa Rica may add a couple extra deliverables that we may want to start on for the second level. So all of that said, last week at the GNSO Council meeting, after a fairly lively discussion for several hours, it was decided to defer the motion at the top level that we had proposed until the next Council meeting. There was a second motion there to move the or to call an emergency Council meeting so that we could hopefully meet and decide the issue prior to the closing of the application window. That meeting has been set for Monday, the 26th, at, I don't know the UTC time, but essentially it's, I think it's, I want to say 1500 UTC time. So, excuse me. So that meeting is going to happen on Monday, and that meeting is after the close of the comment period, which ends on March 23rd. Technically, under the new ICANN rules, there's supposed to be a 21-day reply period after a comment period, but because of the extreme circumstances and because of the tight timeline, we agreed as a council and the NCSG was agreed as well that the we could waive that reply period. So all that said, we have the motion that's on the table, which members of the drafting team that were in Costa Rica had helped significantly on. It was certainly modified in a number of respects from the original motion that was proposed by the drafting team, and it was agreed upon by the representatives of the International Olympic Committee and the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement that were present in Costa Rica. So with that said, I thought at the beginning we could kind of just go over the comments that we received from the comment period. I'm hoping some of you had the chance to read the comments. There are a number of them that are out there. And, you know, I thought we could discuss those, see if any of those comments changes anyone on the drafting team's thoughts or opinions on the motion, and also then go over some of the other comments that have been raised on the mailing list. Any questions? Okay, so in reading the comments on the and anyone, please feel free to raise your hand, speak up if you have a question. Oh, sorry, Chuck, you have your hand raised. So Chuck, let me let you into the queue.
Sure, thanks, Jeff. I did make it through the comments. I read some of them previously, but I thought there were some very good comments. I do have I'll make a very brief comments on the comments. But I have a question for Alan, first of all, because the ALAC's comments basically said they oppose the motion, if I understood it correctly, but they said leave the guidebook unchanged. So should I interpret from that that they don't want any what staff has already done in the guidebook they want to leave alone and not make any changes to that, or do they oppose what staff did already in the guidebook? Alan, can you answer that?
I can try. They certainly oppose what both the board and the staff did. That is, the whole issue shouldn't have been raised to begin with in the way it was. At this point, they are happy, given that it is in the guidebook, they are happy to leave well enough alone and not make the changes that are being suggested. Their preference would be that this motion be defeated. Okay. Just to be clear, I've been on the drafting team, not with their very dissimilar views, but should the change go ahead, there is a strong feeling that it's better to have it more consistent and coherent than you know, just the random pieces that were in the guidebook. So if we're going to make a change, yes, make it intelligent. ALAC would prefer not to see a change, as they would prefer not to have seen the whole issue raised.
Okay, thanks.
Does that make it any clearer?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I had concluded, but I wanted to make sure I did that correctly. Real quickly, the comments I saw, obviously there were some good comments that others using variations of Olympic should be able to use those names. I think we've at least partially addressed that in part of the motion, if we decide to keep it that way. I thought that I won't call out most people by name, but if you haven't read them, I thought that Aubrey submitted two very thoughtful and well-reasoned comments. One general comment she made is that we make no massive changes to the guidebook. Just a side note on that, and one board member I talked to in Costa Rica kind of had the same opinion that board member was not particularly interested in anything that was really massive, so we can kind of keep that in mind. There seems to be a lot of push for more work on this, more according to the policy development process. So that to be responsive to comments, that would might be one thing that we could talk about. And then secondly, the issue of the general language as stated by the Portuguese representative to the GAC and as Wolfgang has communicated to us and communicated well in Costa Rica, that issue is one that we could be responsive to. I personally don't think we can pull that off in the short time we have, but we could suggest that issue be dealt with after the first round. And I'll just leave it at that, Jeff. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. And I see Alan's got his hand raised. I would just say that I think that issue can be addressed. I think you said after the first round. I think we may be able to address that, or at least attempt to address it, in dealing with the second-level names. I don't think it's too late to do that. So it may be earlier than the, you know, maybe still in the first round, but may not be, we're not going to be able to do it, I don't think, before the vote on the top-level protections.
Right.
So one of the things I was going to suggest was that we send some communication to the GAC asking for that rationale, if there's anything in addition to what they've already sent us. And I saw in that comment, and then I'll get back to Alan, I did send around just a reminder of the original request that was submitted by the GAC to the GNSO. And I know we've all seen it, but I don't think we've all necessarily read it in a while. But that document does have a list. It does go into why these two marks, and it does have a list of all of the jurisdictional protections for the Red Cross and Olympic marks. So I think I don't know how much more we're going to get from the GAC on that, but certainly for the second level, we can look at talking about these in more general terms as opposed to talking about these in the specific with these two entities. So let me go to Alan and Thomas. Alan?
Okay, thank you. Jeff, you said part of what I was going to say, that is I think we can, if we're going to deal with more general case at all, we certainly should try to do it in the first round for the second level. There's no reason that if we can address the IOC Red Cross in the second level, we should be able to address the more general case also, assuming we can come up with a definition of who belongs in the general case. I, in fact, had some ideas in Costa Rica. I didn't write them down, or I'm not sure I can remember them. I'm going to try to, that might address some of these things and take the difficulty out of the GNSO hands, which I think is what we need to do. As I said in the note I sent a few minutes ago, at this point, I'm not sure it makes a big difference which way we go. I'm assuming that the IOC and Red Cross are not applying for their own marks this time. Since the applicant guidebook doesn't allow it and we haven't heard any words otherwise, I think we're talking to a large extent about philosophy and elegance in the guidebook and not necessarily about practical implications in this round. So I would like to not to have to spend a lot of time and certainly not a lot in the GNSO meeting and just come to a conclusion. I think we can live with either end of it. I think we are going to need to address the general case in the second round for top level and preferably in the first level for this round. My sense is from talking to a number of people that I respect highly that indeed the Red Cross and the IOC may have a unique mosaic of international law and national law covering them. Other organizations have a different unique mosaic, which may be equally valid. And I think we do need, as Wolfgang and others have suggested, to come up with a general case where it's not the GNSO or ICANN proper that is making the judgment call in each one. So I think we have our way forward outlined. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Thomas?
Thanks, Jeff. I'd just like to go on record by stating that, having read all the comments, that some of them are actually assuming that we are granting protection to these two organizations, which is wrong. The protection has already been granted by the board, and I think that's an important differentiation to be made. At the same time, I do share a lot of the comments that said that the bottom-up process or bottom-up principle should not be destroyed or tackled with the approach that the drafting team has taken, which is why I proposed during the public GNSO session that we should maybe even go through a PDP to address future rounds as well as the second level. I would also like to highlight that the two comments that Avi submitted, which I think were very enjoyable reading, even Avery said that we should retain recommendation 1B, which is about string similarity. So I think what we need to ask ourselves now with the deferral and with, we're at a very late stage now, we shouldn't propose anything that's completely impractical for ICANN staff to implement. And therefore, it might be worthwhile considering, while I stand by my original attitude to that the recommendations that we made are, should be voted yes. We might consider to further strip that up, not only in terms of recommendations, but also in terms of subsections, because I see that at least with what Avery said, there might be more common ground than we anticipated. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm in a telephone call.
Wolfgang, let me go to Debbie and then I'll come back to you.
Okay,
Debbie.
Yes, hello, hi. I'm speaking on behalf of the Red Cross or Crescent Movement, and it's our opinion that the language in the AGB should be modified to allow the movement to apply should it choose to. And with all due respect, I don't think we're required at this time, or any organization is required to announce their intentions. I certainly don't think, and neither does the movement think, that it was the intention of the GAC nor the board to place the Red Cross movement in a position that would disadvantage the movement should it decide to apply. So we certainly think and support the hard work of the drafting team and the motion. I would also want to bring to this group's attention that we appreciate the GAC's acknowledgement of the importance of following and trying to protect the legislations that are in each of their jurisdictions. It's the obligation of, I think, everyone within ICANN to carefully consider these issues. We look forward to talking about protections at the second level, and then even in future rounds. We have no idea if there are others who are out there who have the means or interest in doing such, but what we do know is that history has proven that scammers, and there are others that are out there that have, unfortunately, misused and taken advantage of these designations. And, you know, we can't be clairvoyant. I certainly don't want to try to be. And it's not my place, I think, or any of our places to let this decision rest on a guess, what we think. And I really believe, and the movement believes, that since history has shown that there are people who are interested in using these designations without permission, that we think it's important for us to consider whether or not that protection should also occur at the top level in this round and in future rounds.
Thank you. David? Jeff? Jim Bykoff, could I say something? Jeff?
Oh, I'm sorry. I put myself on mute. Sorry, Jim, let me come back to you. Let me go to Wolfgang first, and then I'll come back to you.
Yeah, this is Wolfgang. I think, just to reply to the last speaker, if you go to the Articles of Incorporation of ICANN, paragraph 4 of the Articles of Incorporation from 1998 made very clear that ICANN operates in the framework of international and national law. So I think that's it's an obligation from ICANN to follow its articles of incorporation, to take this into consideration. So there is no new language needed, because this is already the legal basis for any actions ICANN undertakes. I just want to remember this, because not everybody remembers the articles of incorporation for this for ICANN. I have just a procedural question. What are, if we, dealing now with the motion, what will be the next step? So that means on Monday the council has to make a decision, and then what is the next step? So that means then it goes back to the board, and has the board to do something, how this will affect the language in the applicant guidebook, or, I'm a little bit confused, what are the immediate consequences of the of a decision by the council, how this will affect the process as we arrived now to the period where we close the window with these two dates in March and April. And because we do not have that, or the GNSO Council have no authority to make a final decision, so we give advice back to the board. And then, what is the next step? Has the board signaled that they will do something? This is a little bit unclear for me, and probably somebody can help, Jeff, or somebody else.
I think you said it right, that our role is to provide advice to the board. They are not bound by, this is not a PDP where they would be, and even in a PDP they're not bound, but if it were a formal PDP and it was formal GNSO advice, then the board would need would have to accept it unless they had two-thirds vote against the, so it would be a higher threshold for them to overturn it. And then even then they would have to send it back with additional work. So there's different ramifications. For this is just a straight motion. The board can choose to take it. They could reject it. And I think for us to kind of speculate as to what they would or wouldn't do, I don't think that's very productive for us. I think it might have been a little bit easier had we decided the issue last week. Now you're right. Now we're really cutting against the deadline. But again, I think it's, as I think Alan had said it earlier, this is a lot about principle. as opposed to necessarily what may happen in reality. I think Debbie's points are very clear as well, that, you know, they shouldn't be disadvantaged. I think there are certain things that can be done fairly easily by the board. For example, it would be very easy to do a string similarity review and add that in. It would be very easy for the board to allow, to update the guidebook to allow the Olympic Committee and the Red Cross to apply for their own marks. It would probably be a lot more difficult to implement the rest of, let's say, 1C within the time frame. But, you know, I think we as a drafting team should make our recommendations based on what we believe for this current round, as opposed to what is going to necessarily happen in reality. I just think that's the way we need to proceed. And you know, our role was to provide advice to the GNSO Council on this issue, and I think that's what we're doing.
Okay, thank you. This was helpful.
Yep. Let me go to, I don't know if it's David or it's Jim, so I assume it's one of is that you, Jim, or is that David?
No, it's me, Jim.
Okay.
I just want to agree that I think that the IOC and Red Cross should be given the right to apply in the round. The other point is that the string similarity review is important, and we want to make sure that neither organization is blocked in subsequent rounds by a similar string that's registered in this round. So I think these are important points. The other thing I was going to say is that in the GAC communique, they conveyed the concept that they had reviewed the proposals to ensure effective protection at the top level. They concur with them, and they urge the board to act expeditiously on these proposals to ensure that the names benefit from full protection at the top level. So I think that, you know, I think we're talking about trying to close the top level and then move on to the second level, where a lot of these other comments, I think, can be considered in a less rushed manner, because we're going to have much more time on the second level. And I think that Wolfgang's comment about considering a more generic standard and things of that type should be looked at after we complete this top round.
Okay.
Or top level, rather.
Thanks, Jim. Let me go to Alan, then back to Debbie and Jay Scott. Alan?
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I think we have to be careful in this call to focus on, do we need to change the motion or, in the extreme, withdraw the motion based on the comments? To make the argument about whether the Red Cross should be allowed to apply for its own mark or not, that's the decision that should be raised in the council in deciding whether to accept our motion or not. You know, at this point, unless there's some radical concept that we completely recraft the motion, and I can't imagine us doing that for a whole bunch of reasons, the question is, does the motion need to change because of the comments or other things that have come in the middle? And let's not replay the discussion we're going to have in the council meeting on Monday as to whether this motion should be granted at this late time or not. Otherwise, we're going to fritter away the call, and we're not going to get through with what we need to do to enable our council meeting to happen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alan. And I think after we hear from Debbie and Jay Scott, I'm going to ask that very question about the motion. So let's go to Debbie, to Jay Scott, then we'll address that question.
So I just wanted to get back in the queue just to make the point, since it was raised earlier that we didn't think that there was a need for a change. Just wanted to clarify that the Red Cross, Red Crescent does believe that there is a need for a change, and want to thank Wolfgang for citing the Articles of Incorporation, for which we are very, very familiar, and think that in fact actually supports the fact that this is an implementation issue, since they already have obligation to follow the laws, and that by doing this and putting this explicitly in there, that the board is indicating its desire to follow the laws per its article. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Debbie. Jay Scott?
Hey, this is Jay Scott. I just want to say that, you know, I agree with everything that Debbie has had to say here. I do agree that the rationale that's been set forth in the GAC letter, thank you, Jeff, for circulating that this morning. Personally, I haven't seen anything in the public comments that have been filed that have persuaded me to change my vote on the consensus vote that we held before. It's very cogent arguments made passionately on behalf of a group that made those same arguments during the entire drafting. team meeting that I attended. And I understand that they are very passionate and very committed to their view, but I think we need to move forward. I think this motion is the right thing to do. The fact that we're in this timing conundrum, I think I made very clear on the list my personal opinion with regards to that. I believe the IPC, I can speak for them as well with regards to that. But I don't want to focus on process. I don't want to argue about that anymore. I want to move this forward and decide on this motion. And personally, I feel the same I did on March 2nd.
Thanks, Jay Scott. So let me ask that. There's two questions then. So the first question is, does anyone believe that based on the public comments that we should or need to change any part of the motion as it exists? Not whether you support it or not, but do you think based on the comments we should change it? Doc? And Wolfgang, you're after. So
I see, sorry about that. I was on mute too.
Chuck, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. My apologies. I'm not going to push for changes in the motion. I think there are two possible changes we could talk about a little bit that I think would show responsiveness to the comments that were, I think, reasonable things to change. I don't think they're big changes. I think with regard to issue of general language for instead of the specific, I don't think we have a chance to do that at the top level right now, but I think it would be good and would be responsive to several comments if we stated that in the review after the first round that we would recommend that review work toward at the top level for general language. Now, that may fall out and be very easy after we work at the second level in the coming weeks, but I think that would be one way to be responsive. Secondly, a lot of comments dealt with process, and we all have problems with process. The registries, in our comments indicated we had problems with process. So I actually think we could talk about at the, and it's going to happen anyway, so in recommendation 3 where we say it may be reviewed, I think we ought to talk about the fact that it would be reviewed through the bottom-up processes that all of us are supporting. Now, I'm not going to be rigid on those. I think that's two ways we could be responsive to the comments, and I'd be curious to hear other people's thoughts. And keep in mind, like I said in an email today, I have not had any time to talk this over with the registry, so I'm speaking personally.
Thanks, Chuck. So just to recap, and then I'll get to Wolfgang, your two changes would be first to say that I don't know if I'm taking this out of order, but one of the changes would be to the extent that it should be reviewed. And then the first one was a comment on the process. So can you just repeat them again so I could just...
Sure. Yeah. Part of the problem was the order I gave them, I think, Jeff, so that's probably my fault. So the first change would be in recommendation 3 to require review of the first round decisions and the overall process so that we can truly do a bottom-up type thing. So it'd be almost like what Aubrey suggested, that an issues report be requested. We can't request an issues report, so that's not to our doing. And then secondly, that in that review that the language for the top level be changed to general language instead of naming two organizations.
Okay, let me go to Wolfgang.
I can keep it short because more or less I wanted to say what Chuck said, so I can support fully what he said. You know, my key problem, and I have repeated this again and again, is this problem of uniqueness. So, and insofar, you know, general language would make it much more easier for me to be, to support the motion as it stands. You know, personally, I think it's overdone. But, you know, we have the special circumstances, the GAG advice and all this, and we have to live with the reality. We have to eat the soup which others have cooked, and so that means, and the consequences of our decision are also, you know, has to be finally reconsidered by the board, and the board has to also receive to make the final decision. But anyhow, you know, the what Chuck said in his first point, the general language, is, in my eyes, you know, the key point, also to demonstrate that we are, you know, responsive to the comments which are made in the comment period, so that we show a certain flexibility and not just take the language as it is and bring it back to the council meeting on Monday.
Okay, so one of, and then I'll get to Alan and Monra. One of my concerns is if we change too much of the motion, we're going to get people saying, well, that should go off the public comment. We can't vote on it. I'd want some sort of guarantee that that wouldn't happen. And so one of the things I may do is, Chuck, if you could draft the proposed amendments for the first two concepts, I have a third that I may want to just add that I saw or heard discussed. So I'm going to ask, you know, as the proposer of the motion, basically that I will only accept those as friendly if and to the extent that the there are no that we vote on the motion, right? So that there's no discussion of, well, now that we've changed the motion, we have to put it back out for public comment, right, since I'm the proposer of the motion. So I may do that kind of in a contingent friendly amendment. I think the third concept, and then I'll get to the people in the queue, is that we may want to more formally ask for, I don't know if we have to do this in a motion, but we do need to get that information from the GAC that they had said they were going to give us, and I don't know if we want to put that in a motion or not, but it's something we could talk about as far as a more general rationale, and that'll help in changing the language. Let me go to Alan.
Yeah. Basically, I agree with Chuck. I can see a few changes, and I don't think where we're going, but let me identify them. First, section 3, changing the may be reviewed to must be reviewed. I argued that when we first started talking about it, but the world has changed since then. It will happen anyway. I have no problem putting the must in our resolution because I don't think it will change reality, and it certainly will make some people feel more comfortable. I have no problem when in the second paragraph of recommendation with the IOC and RCRC adding a phrase like, and possibly a more generic classification of organizations. In other words, let's not try to define it here. We're not going to get closure on something that comes in at this late date, but we can simply say the intent that the GNSO may want to look at it in a wider sense. And the other change that I would not feel uncomfortable with is extracting out somehow or singling out recommendation 1A, which says the group should not be prohibited from applying for their own marks, which is something which, as Debbie said, you know, no one imagined that was going to be included in the implementation, and yet it was. And that one may be an easy one for the board to rather than do that one, if they choose not to do a wider one. So those are the changes that I can see that I think would be acceptable, would not be such large perturbation that it requires the wider, you know, going back to review things again, and yet addresses some of the specific comments that have been made. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Can you just go over again the, and I'm trying to figure out where it would fit, talk about the general, so you said, you know, is it the whereas clause?
No, in recommendation 3, yes. Second paragraph, no. where it says, in this proposal, the GAC has recommended that the production of the IOC and RC should not be applied just the first round and second round. I haven't actually tried to draft words.
I'm working on some in what you requested for that. I agree with Alan that it's probably in recommendation 3, but we can talk.
Yeah, I think it's probably the last occurrence. I'm on a very tiny screen here, so it's hard for me to read. I think it's the last occurrence of IOC and RC, where we may be able to tag on a phrase and possibly, you know, more generic
organizations as well, more generic international organizations as well. So in other words, simply leave the door open for the GNSO to decide to do a more general case instead of simply redoing the IOC and RCRC.
Okay, thanks, Alan. And Chuck, I'll wait to get those from you.
I'm working on it.
Great. Okay, let me go to Vaughn.
I'm sorry, my boarding starts. Bye-bye, and hear you on Monday. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Wolfgang.
Thanks, Wolfgang.
Let's go to Lonra and then Dave, or probably Jim. Let's go to Lonra.
Yes, I just want to support the idea of using the general language rather than being specific on those two organizations. I believe that will address some of the challenges the motion is facing. One is going to address the issue of precedent. A lot of issues have been raised about making a precedent out of this. But if the language is generic, then the issue of precedent will go away. We just state certain rules, and any organization that meets those rules or standards will be allowed to take advantage of the motion. So I'm just generally in support of the change of those specific words, focusing on those specific organizations to the use of general language. Thank you.
Thanks, Juan. And I think the general language is going to be a big issue that we talk about for the second level, not for second round, but the second level. I don't know how general, other than the amendments that are being proposed by Chuck and Alan, I don't know how general we can get at the top level at this point, but I think certainly for moving past this for the second level, we certainly will do our best to try to get, to the extent that we think there should be extra protections, then we will certainly try to get that to more of the general as opposed to the specific. Jim?
Yeah, I was just going to agree, actually, that if this is put in, the thing about the general language, if we're putting this in at all, it probably needs to go into that last sentence of Recommendation 3, because it's something that I think would not be, we would not be able to complete in time for the top level, but certainly could be discussed in the second level, and I think we at least are willing to discuss that when we start the second level discussions.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Alan?
Yeah, just a very quick one. I think we need to remember there are some group people who should be doing this at all. There should be no exceptions. So whatever language we put in should be suitably vague that is not committing the GNSO to doing the generic case and giving exceptions for the generic case, but simply allowing them to consider the possibility of, otherwise we're going to have people again saying not only did they object to the objecting to us saying widen, open the door wider than should have been closed shut altogether. So just
check the words right out of my mouth.
One other level of complaint.
Thanks, Alan, and I think just for the transcript, that was Chuck that agreed with Alan's last point.
Chuck again. I just sent the my first cut at changing Recommendation 3. I haven't received it myself yet, so we'll see. I can read it if you want me to.
It may take a little bit to come across the wire. So yeah, that'd be great if you could read it.
Okay, so I kept it at one sentence, and I said, protection must be reviewed after the first round, and that review should include consideration of changing the language to general requirements rather than naming specific organizations. And I'm perfectly open to edits.
So that would be the full, that would replace the entire Recommendation 3?
Yes. What I deleted was should apply for all future rounds but may be reviewed. That's correct.
Oh, right. Okay, I see.
I think it's Alan. I think I have a comment, but I just want to read it and have it in front of me first before I do that.
Yeah.
Sure. Let me go to Thomas and Chuck. I just got the email, so it should be getting to everyone fairly shortly. Thomas?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I posted a proposal in the chat room. I think that Chuck's language is better, but what I'm missing with Chuck's proposal is that we address both top and second levels. You know, maybe we could merge the two proposals. I don't know whether everybody's in front of the chat room, but I had proposed protections should apply for future rounds, but will be reviewed within the crafting of policy on the general question of providing special protection both at the top as well as the second level.
Chuck, do you see that in the chat?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, Jeff, as this is Chuck. I don't think we can say whether it's going to apply to that would be preempting the bottom-up process. We haven't even finished it at the second level ourselves. Whatever protection is provided must be reviewed, and I'm presuming, would it help Thomas to say, must be reviewed at the top and second level? Is that what you're getting at?
I'm missing the top and second level differentiation, because that was a point that many of the commenters in the public comment phase made. So I think we should specifically address that we're both looking at these two issues.
Well, it's Chuck again, and the motion itself, which is what my language is designed to change Recommendation 3, is only dealing at the top level. Now, that wouldn't prevent us from adding some language that it should be reviewed at the second level as well. We don't know where that's going, so I'm open to suggested edits to that.
All right, so let's, rather than wordsmithing it, I mean, Chuck, if you want to make those changes for adding the top and second level, send that around and also look at the paragraph that's below Recommendation 3 to see if any of that would need to be changed. That's all part of the resolution. If you could take a look at that as well. In the meantime, let me go to Alan.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it that perhaps addressing what Thomas just said in a much simpler way is preceding the word protection at the beginning of the sentence with any or all. So that makes it clear that we are not only going to review other organizations, but we will review Red Cross, Red Crescent, IOC, and if anyone wants to read it in the first, second level too, then that's an all-encompassing.
Jeff, Chuck again, with regard to that previous paragraph, I think we probably, if we agree on the change to Recommendation 3, I guess I'm looking at the paragraph after that.
Right.
Instead of the one before. The one after it definitely would need to be changed if we change Recommendation 3, because it says the drafting team, it does agree with the notion that it is making this recommendation as one intended to apply for all future rounds. It would probably be inconsistent to say that and to say that there must be reviewed.
I think it could be deleted completely.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Okay, so do you guys want to then, Chuck, can I leave it as your action item? And then so for shortly after the call, you can send that around if you think there are changes for that paragraph?
Yeah, let's make sure, of course, that everyone agrees on the change to Recommendation 3, because I'm not trying to impose my suggestion on everybody else. I'd really like to.
John, so far I've heard like four variations. So what are we changing it to?
Well,
I
only sent one.
Yeah, I saw that. Then I've heard Alan and Thomas. I'm fine with Recommendation 3.
Chuck, just to be clear, you're deleting the whole large second paragraph of Recommendation, correct?
I didn't make any commitment on that. I just pointed out that we are going to have to change that paragraph after Recommendation 3 to be consistent with the change.
Okay, well, that's what I was asking. Was what you sent around a replacement for both paragraphs or just the first one?
No, just the specific recommendation itself.
Okay,
the one
thank
sentence.
You.
mean, I think the second sentence of that big paragraph still applies, right? Although the drafting team has not spent, well, we could erase that, we could say, but it, the drafting team does agree with the notion that it is making its recommendation as one intended to, well.
No.
Yeah. That's going to be, I mean, Chuck, when you go back, can you, I don't mean to put this all on.
I will. But,
okay. All right. So, does anyone on the call disagree with the notion of Chuck's language, at least for the core of the recommendation, which is what he sent around in the email?
This is Jay Scott. I mean, point of order, did we ever decide we didn't have consensus on what we've already put forward?
That's a good point.
Because
I guess my question was, my first question was, does anyone feel like there should be changes based on the public comment? I guess this is in response to that. I can go back to the question of, without that addition, is there anyone that would remove their support from or change their position? And then I could then call the second question, which is, do people support this change? So I think we've heard from everyone on their they would like to see in response to the public comment. We've heard from some people that they would like to see this change to make it look more responsive to the public comments. But I guess Jay Scott's point is exactly right. Based on the motion that's currently written, so putting aside what we were just talking about a proposed amendment, is there anyone on this drafting team that's on the call, has anyone changed their view from where they were on March 2nd? Or I should say it wasn't March 2nd. It was prior to the Costa Rica meeting when I did the consensus call. And I'm not seeing, I think Jim's hand's up, but I think that's for something else. So.
That was for something else, Jeff.
Jeff, I'm not, this is Chuck, I'm not sure what you're asking, whether we've changed since March 2nd. Obviously, I haven't gone back to the registries to see with regard to this latest change proposed. I have personally changed my view in that I think it would be helpful if we made some slight modifications to address the comments, but it doesn't change the registry's overall view in terms of support of the motion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does, and I'll let Jay Scott jump in, but I guess what we're trying to figure out right now is two things. Number one is whether the public comments have changed the support or the support for the motion or non-support. And then two is, to the extent that there's a friendly amendment proposed, one which I get guarantees of from the rest of the council that amendment, if accepted, will not delay any matters. I want to get people's opinions on that amendment because I do think in certain circumstances that amendment is helpful to at least show responsiveness to the public comment period. Well, let me turn it over to Jay Scott because he's posted a couple things, which I think would be good to actually.
I agree with Chuck that it would be helpful, but it seems to me that where we need to be now is, because we haven't consulted with our constituencies, is that we stay where we are. If we want to do some friendly amendments, can't that happen at the meeting? Jeff, couldn't you take a friendly amendment at a GNSO meeting and say, I want to add a friendly amendment, believe this is responsive, blah, blah, blah. We could have all done that.
Yes.
What would be better than trying to do it now and then trying to make sure that nobody's going to say within our constituencies that now they have a different view?
Yeah.
I think, you know, we've got this. I think Chuck raises a good point, and I'm happy to take back to the IPC, and I'm happy to, if they're happy with it, to make the friendly amendment. But I don't want to mess with this language if we've got consensus on this.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go to Jim and then Alan.
I was just going to say, Jeff, that I'm concerned mostly because it's Wednesday and, vote is Monday, this coming Monday, and that if people start going back to their constituencies, we may not have, a clear mandate at the vote. So I'm wondering if this, if these things could be done at some point, either Monday or after the vote. I don't have any real problems with it. I just am concerned with delay.
Yeah, Jim, and I share your concerns. I was just hoping that if there was going to be a friendly amendment posted, we could all discuss whether we would consider it friendly. Ultimately, it's whether, since I proposed the motion, it'd be whether I would consider it friendly. And, of course, I want to hear from you all. So I guess I was just trying to get some feedback on that. Let me go to Alan, and then we'll circle back.
Thank you. I thought what Jay Scott proposed was, in fact, what we're doing. That is, a motion is on the table in the GNSO. To change it, we will need GNSO process, but I thought we were trying to come to closure on what the wording is so there won't be extraneous discussion and too extensive a review of it at the GNSO meeting. So I think the formal process is it must be done as a friendly amendment at the GNSO meeting or just prior to it in email. But I thought our process was to try to come to closure so we didn't have any surprises at that point. With respect to the actual content, I think changing the may be reviewed to must be reviewed is very responsive to the comments which said this should not have happened to begin with. By making that change, we are saying that the board action in strong language, to usurp the bottom-up process, we are saying is restricted to just the first round as they did, and not it can't slip in into the second round. So I think that is responsive to the comments being made.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. So what I'm hearing, and I'll try to sum it up, what I'm hearing is that the general feeling is that everyone is still, even after the public comments, everyone is still in the same position they were before the public comments came in as far as the support or non-support for the initial motion. So, Jay Scott, I think that's the ultimate outcome. I think, though, it would be helpful if Chuck could circulate some language that we could quickly run through our groups to say, hey, if this were proposed as a friendly amendment, would you all consider this to be friendly or one that would or should be voted on separately? Again, the only one under GNSO process really that would consider it friendly or not is really me and the person who seconded the motion, but it would help me greatly to hear your views on that as to whether I consider it friendly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. I'm fine with that. And I agree that, you know, I'm a big proponent of, you know, if we're going to have a public comment, we should at least either respond to it or take action. So I'm fine with that. You know, I just want to make sure that we know that if we don't get it, we're all okay with this. And I'm okay with this as it is. I'm also okay with amending it as Alan and Chuck are talking about. I think that does respond, and I think it does add some clarity.
Great. Okay, anyone else have any thoughts or comments on that? I know we're getting close to the end of the call, the end of the hour. Okay, we are going to continue on the obviously we'll let everyone know how the vote comes out on Monday. We are going to continue on the every other week schedule. So we need to start getting into the second level. On that, we are going to again get Stefan to, because I don't think he's done it yet, is to make the formal request to the GAC on getting the rationale on a more generic basis from the GAC as to behind their proposal. I think a lot of it is in there, but is in the original proposal, but I do think that they alluded to other research that they've conducted and shared amongst the GAC members, and to see that would be very helpful in our second-level discussions. And also, I want to remind everyone of the pre-Costa Rica emails that went out on the different options. The GAC at the GAC meeting, at least members of the GAC, had expressed certain views as to which of the options they would prefer to see. Not that that should be that should dictate the way we come out, but I just want to remind people of that. And maybe I'll try, or maybe Brian can help me find reference in the transcript to that from that meeting. Any other? So just to sum up again, Chuck is going to send out what he believes would be a possible friendly amendment that everyone will kind of take back to their groups and ask the question, hey, first of all, do you still support the motion as is? Second is, if this were proposed as a friendly amendment, you know, would you support this as being friendly?
I
personally like, yes, Chuck.
I'm sending it right now, if that matters.
And you're asking both questions because there are several people who don't agree that are not here.
Yeah, so I will send that back out to the list after this call, that both question.
I don't want to get accused of prejudicing anybody's views, so, you know.
Right. Well, either way, the motion is what it is until someone proposes an amendment, right?
Ask them the same question you've asked the people telephonically.
Yes, correct. Okay, so Chuck, you have a last comment?
Well, my message has made it to the list. I just changed that second paragraph.
Okay, great. Everyone take a look at it. Keep the dialogue going on the list. And I look forward to talking at least to some of you on Monday. And then our next call will be officially on the 4th. Of April.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff.
Bye.
Jeff.
Yeah. Is that
thank
Brian?
You. Yeah, it's Brian.
Hold on. Please, we can. Let's operator. We can stop the recording if you're still.